How's everybody doing?
Good.
It's good to be here with you guys. And before I get started, again, my name is Joey Kim. I'm so glad to be here with you. Before I get started, it is not often that a Vikings fan gets to stand in front of a group of likely Packers fans on Championship Sunday. And so I just need to say, where are my Packer fans at? Yeah, all I got to say is go Bucks. Come on. I'm just kidding. Hopefully you guys lose really badly. So, but it is really good to be here with you guys. And I want to start off by asking you a question. This is like a pretty serious question. So we got to prepare our hearts for this question. And the question that I have for you as we start our time together is very simple. Is do you want to be close to God? And I think we're all sitting in a church on a Sunday morning and we would say, well, yeah, that's why I'm at church. And I think that that's a great answer, but I think it's really important for us to really think about this. Is do we really want to be close to God? Because if you're anything like me, what I recognize is that it's really easy to say, yes, I want to be close to God, but then go through the motions of what it looks like to be close to God, right? It's easy to come to church on Sunday morning. It's easy to read our Bibles. It's easy to say our prayers every day. It's easy to go through these motions of Christianity, but when we really think about it, when we really think about what it takes to be close to God in a world full of distractions, in a world full of people that are going to point you away from God, in a world full of temptations that are just a click away, what have I recognized, and likely you've recognized as well, is that it is one of the hardest things in the world to make a conscious decision to be close to God every single day. I fully believe that having a deep and intimate relationship with the Lord is one of the hardest things that you could ever do. And I'm not the only person that believes that. You likely have seen that in your own life. And there's somebody in the Bible that has expressed this as well. And we are in week two of our series called A Man Named James. And today we're going to look at the book of James again. And we're going to look at chapter 4. Because what we see in chapter 4 is that James like puts out this plan of how to be close to God. Because what James recognizes is that just like me and just like likely you, is that this world is a hard world to live in and to have a deep relationship with God. James knew that with all the temptations and all the distractions, being close to God would be a challenge. So what does he do? He lays out a very clear and simple plan for us to follow if we want to be close to God. And so I want to take some time today to dive into that plan that's found in James 4, verses 7 through 10. And you can go ahead and open your Bibles if you'd like to right now. And I'm actually going to be reading out of a different translation than we're probably typically used to. I'm going to be reading out of the Message translation. And the reason why is because I think that this translation just gives a really clear picture of what James is trying to communicate. And so this is not really a translation. It's more of a paraphrase of the text, but I think it's a really helpful paraphrase. So it says this in James 4, verses 7 through 10. So let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It is the only way you will get on your feet. So, James, this is like a really intense passage that James is saying. And so I just want you guys to like know that as we read that, you're probably like, okay, it's a little intense, because it is. It's very intense, because what James is communicating is the path to being close to God. And this is about the most serious topic that we can talk about when it comes to being Christians. And so just know that this is a very heavy topic that James is talking about. And really what this comes down to, what James is trying to communicate, is the starting point for a deep and intimate relationship with God is repentance of sins. And if you don't know what that word repentance means, it simply means to make a decision to turn from your sin and to turn to God. That's all it means. And so James is starting off by telling us that we need to learn to repent of our sins and turn to God. So that's the starting point. Now I want to kind of break down this passage a little bit so we can kind of get a fuller understanding of what James is trying to communicate. And so this is really a two-part plan. And the first part of this plan is to say no to the devil and yes to God. This is part one of James's plan, is to say no to the devil. And we all recognize this in our lives, that we want to constantly be saying no to the devil. But here's what happens, is that when we do repent, this is the cycle that so many Christians are caught in, is that when we choose to turn from our sins, we mess up and we say, God, I'm so sorry for sinning. I want to repent. I want to turn from my sin. And I turn to God and God forgives me, and that guilt and that shame goes away. And then what happens? Well, you get caught right back in that same cycle, and you go back to it, and there's this cycle that goes on. But that's not repentance. Repentance is not getting caught in this cycle. Repentance is making a conscious decision to say yes to God. To say yes to God every single day. Saying no to God. Saying no to the devil and yes to God. And so that's what we need to do. And I think that this, he kind of draws this picture of what repentance really looks like. Because what James is trying to draw here is that repentance looks like us falling on our knees and realizing that nothing compares to the value of Jesus. Nothing compares to knowing him. Because when we come to that realization, we're going to come to a point where we say, man, wow, God, you're so good. I'm so sorry that I would ever choose anything else besides you. That's the realization that James wants us to get to. And when we realize that, when we realize that, that's where true repentance takes place. And that's when we start to enter into this deep and authentic and intimate relationship with the Lord. And that's the beauty of it. But the devil, when he sees us start to take this step towards a deep relationship with God, he's going to do whatever he can to try to throw us off our game. He's going to do whatever he can to throw temptations and struggles and things at us to simply try to get us to go back to that sin, to go back to that thing. And so that's something to be aware of, which makes us say, okay, then that means I got to be close with God every single day. So that's part one. Part one of this plan is very simply to say yes to God and no to the devil. And so that leads me to part two of this plan. And it's again, it sounds simple. It's to get serious about our faith. Like, if we want to be close to God, we've got to get serious about our faith. I promise you that you're not going to wake up one day and randomly have this deep and intimate relationship with God. As much as we want it just to happen, that's not going to happen. If you truly want to be close to God, you've got to do the things that you need to do in order to get there. Just like anything else in our lives, we're not just going to accidentally walk into a relationship with God. So what do we have to do? Well, I think it starts with taking the time to just simply be with Jesus. We need to take the time to get alone with this man named Jesus and allow him to transform our hearts. And to thank him for being our father and for correcting us and to showing us what it looks like every single day to follow him. It means taking the time to read the Bible and to not just read the Bible to check off the list of being a good Christian for the day, but to read the Bible to know God more and allow him to transform our lives. To take the time to pray for other people, to pray for your community, to pray for your church, to pray for the people around you. To take the time to do all these different things that are going to grow us in our relationship with God. That's what it takes. It takes actually getting serious about our faith. And so now that I've kind of talked about this plan, this two-part plan that James communicates, I think it's important to then return to that question of, do you want to be close to God? Do you? I think that's something that you need to ponder and then look at that and say, well, is it worth it? With all the things that it takes, is it worth it to do those things to get close to God? Is it worth the time? Is it worth the effort? Is it worth the finances it might cost you? Is it worth the relationships that it might cost you? Is it worth it? And I ask that question simply because I have come to that conclusion that it is 150% worth it. And I hope that you're in that similar boat, that you know that your relationship with God and being as close as possible is better than anything else in this entire world. I promise you that if you've not experienced that, that your relationship with God is the greatest thing that this world could ever, that you could ever experience in this lifetime. That's the truth that I've experienced, and hopefully you have as well. So if we want that, if we want to be close to God, what do we have to do? Well, James gives us this clear plan. We have to say no to the devil and yes to God. And we've got to get really serious about our faith. We've got to get really serious about our faith. And I think about the people in my life that have the deepest and closest relationship with God. And I know that they do those things. And I believe that you as Mid-Current Church, that all of you want to have a deep relationship with God, or at least you're open to having a deep relationship with God. I don't think that you would wake up on a Sunday morning just to come here just for fun. I think that you come here because you want to have that relationship with God. But in my experience as a pastor, and as following Jesus, what I've come to realize is that most often the reason why people don't have a relationship with God, a deep relationship with God, is not because they are saying yes to the devil and no to God. Most people are not doing that actually want a deep relationship with God. It's not even because they're not getting serious about their faith. It really comes down to the reality that most people that don't have a deep relationship with God but want one, they don't have it because of their past. That's what it comes down to. Because they think that they're too broken and too messed up to ever truly be loved by God. That's why most people don't get to that deep relationship with God, because what happens is the moment that we start to take a step to get deeper in our relationship with God, the enemy is mad. He's mad. And so what he does is he'll do whatever he can to get us to not take that step and not go deeper with Jesus. He'll do whatever he has to do to get us to go back to our sin, to go back to the life that's going to lead us away from God. And one of the oldest tactics that he has ever used in the entire history of the universe is to ask the same question over and over again. And that question is, how could you ever think you would still be loved by God after all you've done? It's the same question. He's asked it since the beginning of time. It's the same question that Adam and Eve wrestled with the moment after they ate the forbidden fruit. It's the same question that Moses wrestled with the moment after he murdered a man. It's the same question that King David wrestled with right after he committed adultery. This reality of, how could you ever still be loved by God after all you've done? That is what the enemy wants to trip us up with. He wants us to get to the point where we think that we've messed up too much, that we're too broken, that we're too much of a failure to ever truly be loved by God. And friends, that is just not true. It's just not true. And so I want to look at a story, a quick story of a man named Peter, who is one of Jesus's best friends, because Peter struggled with this same question. Peter went through this same tension that you have might likely experience, a question that I've struggled with as well. And so I want to share his story. And so Peter, as you are probably very familiar with, Peter is this man that followed Jesus throughout his entire earthly ministry. He was an incredible follower of Jesus. After Jesus leaves, he goes on to be the apostle to the Gentiles or to the Jews, and he does all this incredible things for the kingdom of God. And so right before Jesus dies, he gathers all of his closest friends. He gets them all together for the Last Supper. And he says, "Friends, I'm about to be arrested and killed." And Peter, being the brave leader that he is, he stands up and he says, "Jesus, even if everyone else in this room denies you, I'll never deny you." And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, even before the rooster crows, that you're going to deny that you even knew who I am. Before the rooster crows tonight, you will deny that I even knew who I am three times. And so fast forward, Jesus has just been arrested, and Peter's like following Jesus from a distance. And somebody comes up to Peter and says, "Hey, weren't you one of those guys that followed this man. And Peter says, no, I don't know who that is. Don't try to connect me with him. And then the night goes on and another person says, hey, you sound a lot like this Jesus guy. Are you sure you didn't follow him? And again, Peter says, no, I don't know this man. And finally, I think this is the most ironic one, is that most scholars agree that the last person that came up to Peter was a 13-year-old girl. A 13-year-old girl comes walking up to Peter and says, Peter, you look just like him. You are a Nazarene. You were from his town. For sure, you walked with Jesus. And again, Peter says, no, I do not even know the man. And in that moment, the rooster crows. And Peter realizes what he has done. Peter realizes how he has fallen short. And I can imagine in that moment all the thoughts that start to swirl in Peter's mind. And could have been something like, how could I ever do this? I walked with this man. I saw him perform miracle after miracle. I saw the power and the authority that he had from God. I was with him in some of his most incredible moments. But here I am denying Jesus to a 13-year-old girl. How could I ever do that? And because of that, how could God ever love me? And so Jesus goes on to be crucified and resurrected. And all the while, what does Peter do? Peter goes back to fishing. Peter goes back to fishing. Because what happens when we try to take a step towards God, but then we feel some shame from the enemy? What do people so often do? They go back to what's comfortable. And that's exactly what Peter did. He went back to the comfortability of fishing because that's what he knew before he started following this Jesus guy. And I don't know about you, but so often that's what people do. When they feel like they've messed up in their relationship with God, they go back to the thing that they knew before they started following him. They go back to the toxic people. They go back to the parties. They go back to the things that they know aren't going to satisfy them. But they do it because it's what they knew. And they think that maybe I'll find some sort of comfort in this, but no, that's never going to happen. And what I love about Peter's story is that Peter actually never makes a step to be close to Jesus again. But Jesus comes to Peter. Because Jesus, he resurrects from the dead, and Peter's out here, he's fishing in a bay, and Jesus sees him, and he's standing on the shore, and he calls out to him, Peter! Peter realizes that it's Jesus, and immediately he jumps out of this boat, and he swims to shore, and he meets Jesus. And the beauty of his relationship is beginning to be restored to Jesus. And he's remembering what it's like to be connected to him, to be close to him, to know him. But what happens when we start taking steps towards Jesus is the enemy reminds us, hey, remember when you did that? Remember how you fell short? Remember last weekend? You remember how you hurt that person? It's exactly what happens to Peter in this moment. And you would think that as humans, if we have wronged one another, that the first thing that Peter would say is, Jesus, I am so sorry. Could you ever love me again? That question is never asked. But Jesus, he flips the table on Peter, right? And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Peter's kind of caught off guard. Yes, Lord, of course, I love you. Again, he says, Peter, do you love me? And he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? He asks him three times. And I think that there's power in this question of do you love me? Because that, my friends, is the question that needs to be asked. Because Peter never asked this question of Jesus, do you love me? Because what Peter knew is that Jesus loved him forever. Peter knew that Jesus had just gone to the cross for him. Peter knew that Jesus knew that he was going to deny him, that he knew he was going to fall short, and Jesus looked at him and still called him a friend and still called him love. So my friends, if you're in this position where you're like, I want to get close to God, but I've fallen short, I've messed up, I've done some bad stuff. The question that you should never have to wrestle with is, does Jesus love me? You should never question whether Jesus loves you. He proved it forever on the cross. But the question that you need to ask yourself is, do you love Jesus? That's what Peter came to realize. And that's what I believe is what some of you may need to realize. Is you need to ask yourself, do you love Jesus? Because if you do, that's an incredible thing. And that there's nothing that's gonna stop you from being deep and intimate and close to Jesus. So I wanna encourage you to go all out with it. That if you truly love Jesus, to go as close as you possibly can to know him more every single day. And when the enemy tries to remind you of the ways you've fallen short, you get to remind him of the cross and how you know who you are because of what Jesus did and the way that he covered your sin on the cross. That's the good news of the gospel. And so if you want to do that, if you want to be close to Jesus, you can. It simply starts with you making the choice to say no to sin, to say no to the devil and yes to God, and then getting really serious about your faith. This is the message that I believe James has for us in James 4, that if we want to be close to God, we have access to him through the Holy Spirit and through the cross, and that there's nothing that can separate us from that love. That's what you need to know. That's what you need to know. And so I don't know what you walked into this place with this morning. I don't know the sin that you may be struggling with. I don't know what you may be carrying, but what I know is that the God of the universe is in this place and he loves you. And he wants to know you more and he wants you to know him more. And so I want to challenge you to make a decision right now to get closer to Jesus, to take that step, whatever that may look like for you. Maybe that's you. I'm gonna open my Bible for the first time in the last 3 years. Maybe that's you. I'm gonna start praying. Maybe you need to make a decision to follow Jesus for the first time in a long time, or maybe for the first time ever. I don't know where you're at with this whole Jesus thing right now, but what I know is that Jesus wants to go deeper with you. And you may be in a very deep relationship with God, and that is so incredible. But what you need to know is that there's more, that Jesus wants to take you deeper. And so I'm gonna pray in a moment, but I want you to really think about this, to think about what is God calling you to take a step in and then to do it. And so I'm gonna pray, if everybody could just close their eyes. And I wanna ask you to do something right now, that if you're ready to take a step, whatever that step may be, whether it's a big step or even a small step, I just want you to put your hand in the air right now. Just a step, whatever that may be. And the reason why I ask you to do that is because I believe that when you make a decision, when you actually raise your hand and say, yes, I'm gonna do this, that something changes. And that you can take that step. And that it will be more likely that you'll see that come through. So Jesus, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for the people in this room that you are speaking to that need to take a step. God, I thank you that you love them so much. And Father, I ask that you would help them, that whatever that step looks like, whatever step they need to take, Father, would you give them the encouragement to do it? Would you destroy the lies of the enemy in their life? Would you give them the strength to say yes to you every single day? Would you encourage them? Would you help them? Would you just put people in their lives to help them take that step to go deeper with you? Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. And we thank you that you love us. It's in Jesus' name, amen.